Blog Talk Radio.
This program is sponsored by P4P Muscle, the number one drug-free sponsorship in the world. If you are a drug-free athlete and are looking for a solid foundation to stand on, as well as a vehicle to drive your goals, check us out at P4PMuscle.com. And now let's talk. I am Desiree Fletcher, and he is Kalen Patterson, and we are P4P
yep.
Real Talk. Hey, Kalen said hello to our listeners tonight.
Hello, everyone. How are you doing?
Is that your Barry White voice, except a couple octaves
right.
higher?
Right?
Right. That's exactly what it sounded like, and I'm sure our listeners are all about that. Hey, and if you guys were all about Kalen's Barry White, Barry White impersonation, be sure to let him know at Midwest Muscle how much you appreciated that. All right. So tonight we've got an awesome show ahead of us, and it is dealing with one of our favorite topics, but a very important topic, and that is food. We had a foodie edition a couple of weeks ago, and we've got another great guest on with us tonight, Jean Marie Boschman. She is from New Hampshire, and welcome to P4P Real Talk, Jean Marie. It's great having you tonight.
Thanks for having me.
So how are things going in New Hampshire? What's the weather like over there?
It is frigid. I think the weather is a little bipolar here. We had 50 yesterday, and today it was 24. So it can't make up its mind if it wants to stay winter or turn over to spring.
Oh, man, I think we got your 50-degree weather today here in Iowa, and it's supposed to be 60 by the weekend, so you're right. I'm not quite sure. Put the winter coat away, keep it out. Put it away, keep it out. I'm not quite sure what's going on there. But anyway, so you have been with the P4P family for about a year now, and you look amazing. You compete quite regularly. Why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself and how you got into bodybuilding?
Sure. I used to be a runner. I was running pretty regularly, 5 to 6 miles a day, almost every day, 6 days a week, 7 days a week, it depends on the week. And I just got kind of bored with it. I'd go to 5K races, and it'd be fun, but I'd get there, and I would see these people. They would be, like, amazing bodies, right, amazing runners' bodies.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, God, I look good in clothes, but I don't look so hot in my bathing suit. This isn't good. So I started doing some research, and I started lifting weights in July of 2013, and I went online, and that's when I came across natural bodybuilding and some photos from some natural bodybuilding shows, and I came across the fact that there were multiple divisions, which I never knew. I always thought of bodybuilding as those big, giant guys and, like, similarly, the really, really muscular bodybuilding women. So when I came across the fact that there were multiple divisions from physique to figure to bikini, I thought, hey, this might be a good goal. I'll stick with it, I'll switch over to weight training, and maybe in a year I'll do a show. Well, I decided to contact a posing coach in the area to learn the poses so I'd have plenty of time to practice it. And she talked to me, she was also a prep coach, a nutrition coach, and so forth, and she talked to me about my nutrition. And as soon as I tweaked my nutrition, I started seeing results, like, almost immediately, within a couple of months. So I started lifting in July, and I ended up doing my first show in the bikini category that October, just 4 months later. And after being around the people, it was so motivating, and being on stage, I loved it, and I liked pushing my body. So the rest is really history. From that point forward, I was competing. I did a show the following March in bikini, and then two shows in April, and then I decided, because I wanted to continue to lift heavy, and I started getting some feedback from judges, I placed all top three and four in all four of those shows. You're getting a little too muscular, either put on a little more weight or decide that you're going to commit and grow. So I decided at that point to switch over to figure, and did my first figure show in July of 2014, and, did well, placed fifth, and I stuck right with it, did a couple more fall shows, and then last year I did five shows as well, and I've had a lot of passion around it. It's something that I really love to do. I like to push myself, I like to be around that crowd, and read really everything I can get my hands on. And as you know, nutrition is a key component to how much you do or don't grow and how dry and tight you are for a show or you're not. So I find it really interesting and playing with it and trying different things out on myself that, you know, I find really interesting. So that's where we're at now.
Well, I'm glad to be talking about that because one of the things that I like and appreciate is that you talked about the food being the thing that really started making the difference, and that's something that is gym rats or, you know, people that are just around the gym mentality. It's all about the iron. It's all about the lifting. And food basically is like second or third on the tier. So, you know, what do you tell the person that has to basically alter or change that mindset to actually get them to understand that food is that important, actually more important than what we're actually doing in the gym? Because if we're not feeding the body, we're actually not getting the gains we should.
Sure. I mean, I usually will liken it to, you know, you're not going to try to drive your car when it's on empty, right? So why would you take your body to the gym and try to push its limits and try to max out on weights or maybe the other end, max out on reps when you haven't given it the proper fuel? And how can you expect to build muscle when you haven't given it the building blocks of protein and amino acids? So I just try to, you know, liken it to that. What do you do every day? You drive your car to work, right? And you get in the car and you look, and if it's on E, you take it to the gas station. So when you wake up in the morning, you put some gas in your own tank. You eat some food. You get that metabolism going. You give it, you know, a nice balanced meal of protein, carbs, and healthy fats, and get on your way to your day. So,
and that's definitely a great way to be looking at it. And I know when I first was introduced to you, and actually, no, this is our first time really speaking, but I was first introduced to you through social media, through Facebook, and it's because you were always posting like these amazing pictures of food, and it wasn't just your
food
typical,
porn.
You know, yeah,
food,
yeah,
porn.
Food porn. That's definitely
on,
what
babe.
It is, because it wasn't your typical, you know, 20, you know, couple 20 Tupperware dishes lined up, but I mean, you had actual like staged. I mean, and that's what I remember is dessert after dessert. And I know you post more than that, but that's what has stuck with me. How did you come to developing, you know, all of these dishes that you put out there or altering recipes that you saw?
Right. So I look at creating my meal plan. So every week, Sunday, I hit the gym. Right after I finish the gym, I sit down and I write my meal plan for the week. And I know personally what macros I need to attain. I know what macro split works best for me to get the look that I want to achieve for whatever time of year, whether it's improvement season or it's, you know, I'm cutting and I'm prepping for a show. So I write that plan, and I work within the foods that I personally like. I mean, it would be easy to just go ahead and throw some chicken and sweet potato and broccoli in containers for 5 meals a day and then have my breakfast every day and call it good, and I'd probably hit the same macros and I'd look fine. But I'd get pretty bored, and I can tell you personally, I would be more likely to cheat because I would be bored with the food and it all looks the same. So what you'll tend to see is I work within a lot of the same ingredients just because I'm picking what I like. I like summer squash. I like zucchini. You know, I like spinach, so I work with those things a lot. But one week, maybe it's diced up into spheres, and another week, maybe it's, you know, sauteed, and it's made into zoodles with a veggie machine. So I look at my meal plan as a game of Tetris. We all played that when we were kids. You got to fit the little blocks in, and, you know, that's how you win and get to the next level. So same way. I know I'm going to hit X amount of grams of protein, X amount of grams of carbs, and X amount of grams of fat, and what my ratio is going to be. And then I just play with it, work it out, hit the store, grocery shop, prep my meals. And then I know I'm looking forward to eating it because it's something different, and I'm not eating the same exact thing all day long. But it's still going to help me achieve my goals. I'm going to be able to build my muscle. I'm going to be, you know, fueled with the proper amount of energy when I get to the gym. So I'll feel good. I'll feel strong. My lifts will be good. And I'll see the results over time.
I love that analogy of Tetris. That's really good. one thing that I've noticed, and, you know, we can relate anything to the gym if we really think about it pretty well. And a lot of times people say that they plateau at the gym when really they just got bored with the workout because it never changed. And that's what it sounds like you're saying with the diet. You know, if you don't change it up, it's not that you're not making your goals or not trying as hard. You're just getting bored with what you're doing. So I'm liking what you're putting out there. And what made that concept? Is that something you've always done, or is this something that you basically said, this is what has to happen in order for this to stay interesting for me?
Yeah, it's funny that you say that. I used to be the chicken, sweet potato, broccoli every meal person, and I did get bored, and then I was finding that my mind would wander, and I would be thinking about, oh, I want to have this. So then I started thinking about, you know what, I got to make this work for me. I want to stick to this. I ultimately would like to earn pro status and turn pro. So how am I going to make this work so I'm comfortable and I'm not thinking about cheating and having that, you know, slice of pizza or, having that Dunkin' Donuts hot chocolate. Oh, I love that. You know, a large hot chocolate has 400 calories. It's only got 3 grams of protein. It's got like either 60 or 80 carbs in it and 14 grams of fat. It's ridiculous, right? So what do I have in my cupboard? I have a 5-pound tub of P4P muscle chocolate isolate. Guess what? Hot water with a scoop of chocolate hot chocolate.
Talk to me.
It's perfect. That's a clean cheat right there. I'm getting the protein that my body needs. I'm not eating all the carbs that I don't need at 10:30 at night when I always feel like I need a hot chocolate because it's 16 degrees here right now. You know? So
wow.
I think over time, like, hey, I'm going to try this. It's summer. It's hot. It's hot. I can't stand it. You know what I do? I mix up my BCAAs. I freeze them into popsicles. It's not brain science.
Yep.
It's just one of these things that you know what? I used to freeze my grape juice when I was a kid. Why can't I freeze my BCAAs? It's not any
good
different.
Point.
So, and then you feel like you're having a treat because you're having a popsicle, and then you're not eating empty calories. You've already hit your macros. You're not hurting anything, right? So how do I work within what I've got for groundwork, what I've got for food to give my body what it actually needs instead of just what I want? So a part of it is the planning, but another part of it is how do you handle when you do have a craving? Or I'm bored, and I want to eat when I'm bored, but that's a bad thing. So I'm going to have a popsicle, a BCAA popsicle. No harm, right?
Yeah, and that brings up an amazing point. And these are things that are so simple, but they're things that we just don't think about. And, you know, the cravings are real. The urge to want
right.
to binge, for whatever reason, is very real. And if you, you know, even have these simple tricks where you can grab for cocoa or a popsicle or, you know, whatever simple thing you have used, what you've got, and still works within your macros, it makes it all much easier. Because the hardest thing, I think, about the diet is, at least for me, some people, repetition is an issue. For me, not so much, but it's conquering what it is I keep telling myself that I can't have. Because, you know, as soon
right.
as somebody tells you can't do something or you can't have something, what is it you want?
Exactly.
You want everything. Yeah, you want everything that you're not supposed to have. So, I love the cocoa idea, definitely love the popsicles, and I tell you, I've seen more gooey pancake recipes come across your Facebook feed that I can't even count. How do you, and I know you work a lot with protein, and you've got the P4P protein and the different flavors, but how do you switch up your recipes to include these ingredients? Or, I mean, how is it that you're altering? What are some of the tricks of the trade that you've found work for you that have been pretty easy in switching up recipes?
Yeah, so the one meal that I do change every day is my breakfast, and that's usually when you see either I'm making a protein waffle or a stack of pancakes or whatnot. So I always plan usually 6 to 8 egg whites, a full serving of oats, and a full tablespoon of peanut butter every day. So if I can get my pancakes within that, I'm good, and I usually can. So I've tried a bunch of different recipes that, I've borrowed from, that I found on Pinterest or I found on the Internet, and then I kind of tweak them from there. So I know I'm not going to use syrup, and I know as much as I'd like to put 5 tablespoons of peanut butter on there, I can't. So, one of the go-to things that you tend to see me do is I'll layer between the pancakes, Dan and Light and Fit Greek yogurt. It's very low in calories. It's very high in protein. And then you've got, add that moisture to the pancake. And then I can still top it with just a bit of peanut butter, and that goes a long way. So, if I want them to be fluffier, I can add some coconut flour. If I'm cool with them being the way that they come out with just the protein and like a quarter cup of pumpkin, then that's fine. That works as a snack too. So it all depends on, you know, what, I guess, partly what am I training that day, and then what do the rest of my meals look like for the day. But yeah,
nice.
I definitely come up with a lot. You know, my peanut butter and apple, or my Oreo cookie stack, or blueberries and cream cheese, and it all sounds good, but then you're like, oh, that's just, it's vanilla Greek yogurt with frozen blueberries microwaved into a reduction put on top. So it's, you know, it's all healthy. It's all good, good nutrients that your body needs.
I like that. And you know, I'm glad you're saying this, because I tell you, I've been around sports for my life. So, you know, wanting to compete was not hard to want to do, but I was really turned off with the negative atmosphere that had been set around, you know, basically the prep. It seemed like everybody was suffering and, oh, you know, woe is me, and life sucks, and, you know, got to grind these last couple of weeks out. And I'm thinking, well, hell, I can't imagine if my practices had made me hate the game so much that, you know, all I could do was complain about it. I wouldn't want any part of it. So I'm thinking, well, why would I want to get into that? And then when, you know, people like you started doing what you were doing and showing that, you know, food is fun and you don't have to be a glutton and you can actually enjoy the meals during the duration, then it was appealing. You know, it's something I wanted to do. So, you know, do you have people that really contact you on that level?
Yeah, I do. You know, people want to pick my brain about, hey, you know, I'll get messages every now and then on Facebook from friends. This is what I've got left for macros. What would you have? And so I'm like, oh, and, you know, you get used to tracking it, that you just know the macros of things automatically. So I'll answer those questions. Or, you know, I'm finding that I'm cutting and this is where I'm at. I don't have a lot of extra calories to play with, but I'm still hungry. So, you know, I'll talk to them about, you know, cauliflower. It's a vegetable. It's got almost nothing in it. It's got a high water content. Use that as a filler. You're hungry. You're looking at your plate thinking it's not a lot. A couple cauliflower will go a long way. Your oats don't feel like they're filling. 100 grams of zucchini shredded into it will go a long way. So there's a lot of things. I mean, it's kind of like when you're working out, your mind is your worst enemy. The sky is really the limit. Mind over matter. And it's the same thing with the food. If you're oh, woe is me, poor me, the diet is awful, it sucks, then you're branding yourself that way. Or you can look at it, you know, this is a challenge. How can I figure out, like, for me, I'm a quantity eater. I want to eat as much as I possibly can. I want to look in that bowl or on that plate and see a lot for the amount of calories and macros that I have. So just over the last couple of years, I've learned, you know, what goes further than other things. So when it comes time to cut, I don't really feel like I'm deprived because I'm still – quantity-wise, eating a lot, I'm just switching out. You know, it goes from instead of having the broccoli that's 55 calories down to the asparagus that's 40 calories, then down to the green beans that's 25 calories. So I'm still getting a couple green veggie, but just knowing when to switch which ones out. And then knowing how things affect your body. You know, some people, they're not affected by, you know, artificial sweeteners. They don't get bloated by them. I don't. Other people, they're significantly affected by it. And they're like, geez, I can't get my abs to come in. And I'm like, well, you're chewing gum. Have you tried not chewing gum for a couple of days to see if your abs, you know, sometimes it's simple stuff that you don't think about, but we self-sabotage a lot. And because we're not willing to think outside the box, or we feel like, oh, this is just us. Hey, well, there's a will, there's a way. So read everything you can get your hands on. That's what I've done. And just try different stuff. The only way you're going to find out what works for your body is by trying different things. And that's really what I've done. I see something, I like it, I'll replicate it in a recipe that works for me. So, you know, I challenge everybody to do that when they talk to me about things. Oh, it's awful. I'm bored. I'm stuck with this. Or it's just down to the last couple of weeks. I'm like, listen, you haven't come this far to only come this far. All you have left is 2 weeks. That's it. Just 2 weeks. You can make it. So what's the problem? Let's talk about it. Let's talk about two or three things to remedy the problem. Here's the solution, you know, just helping people think through it, really.
Yep. I mean, and that is definitely a big part of it. And I'm so glad that you bring up the point that you do need to do your homework, and that every diet or every eating combination out there is not going to work for one person like it works for another. And, you know, you do have to put the thought into it. And it is easy just to do, like you say, the chicken, the broccoli, and the sweet potato. But then again, you could be reaching so many different gains if you just looked think out of the box, like you've been saying, and try something a little bit different. But then again, there are other times where, you know, it's not the time to try something different, so you just need to stick with what you know is working. But that brings up another thought that I have, because a lot of times when you eat the same things over and over again, you kind of get in a groove of just eyeballing it. And sometimes when you just eyeball food, you're not really getting what you thought that you were getting. And I know that measuring food for you is a very important thing, and I would just want you to share your thoughts around that with us.
Yeah, sure. So anything that you purchase that has a nutritional label on it will have a serving size. So if it's cottage cheese or yogurt or, you know, frozen chopped broccoli, and next to that serving size, let's say it's one cup, it'll have grams. So I have measuring cups like anybody else. And when I first started out, I was measuring out, you know, my one cup of rice and my one cup of broccoli and all that. And over time, I realized, geez, you know, I'm keeping sometimes, I'm leveling it off, sometimes I'm not. And what I noticed one time, I decided, you know, I got to measure this and see how close this is to the grams. I remember I leveled off, I want to say it was a serving of, it might have been cottage cheese. And it was in a measuring cup, so it's exactly what the serving was. And I put it on the scale, and it was like 15 grams over in just that one serving. And I was going to have it every day that week. So I think that's a great example of even someone who is measuring with, say, measuring cup, they could be taking in hundreds of additional calories by the end of the day, and certainly by the end of the week, if they're not weighing their food on a scale. And that's the difference between coming in looking okay at a show and coming in looking dynamite. So I think if someone is really, you know, getting ready for a show and they're competing and they're serious about bringing the best that they can bring, you're doing yourself a disservice if you're not weighing your food on a scale. That is the most important thing. That way you know for sure what you're getting for macros, and you're not, like you were saying, accidentally overestimating, or maybe you're underestimating. Could be the other way. You're not giving yourself, your body, enough fuel.
Good point. Since you're a fellow P4P, I got to throw this out there, because this is one of the things I had learned right off when I was when I started using the supplements for P4P, is that there was dramatic results in a very short amount of time. And so much to the point where I was asking JV and Joe, you know, all right, what's the deal? And they informed me, you know, they started, you know, let me know about fillers. And, you know, I said, you know, there's a lot of things that we have to battle, because just basically we're buying crap, you know. And so, you know, if the supplement is off, and it's, you know, granted, like you said, if you're not on point with what you're getting, but even if you're on point, if there's just so much crap in the supplement itself, that's damaging to your diet. And, you know, it can set you back a great deal. So, because this ain't salesmanship. You know the product, so I'm not selling anything.
Right.
We're just talking about it. Just explain to some of the listeners how that really transcended a lot of the effort you didn't have to put in to battle against that self-sabotage that you were speaking.
Right. So it's nice to know that P4P Muscle has taken the time to give us a product that's a great quality and doesn't have the fillers. I mean, you look at it, it's a 30-gram scoop, and you've got 25 grams of protein. So that's a very high percentage of its protein, and then it's BCAAs that are in there. So you're getting, you know, really good product. I've seen most of my gains in the last year, and that's during the time that I've been utilizing their full product line. So consistency certainly is key. And I think, you know, if you take their container, their nutrition label, and you go and you compare it to another nutrition label, say a Muscle Tech or something, you know, take a look at the gram serving of the scoop, and then take a look at the gram serving of protein. And then take a look at, you know, what else is in there. Look at the ingredients. What's the first ingredient? If it's not whey protein isolate, what are you paying for? If it's blend, parentheses, four different things, That's what you're paying
yes.
for. You're getting four different things instead of what we're getting in our product, which is isolate. I'm paying for isolate. I want fast absorbing. I'm drinking it immediately after my workout, so I want it to go right in there and replenish what I just depleted by working my muscles hard.
Right.
Right.
Exactly. I mean, and all of these things are important, and on some level, I think most competitors are aware of them. But then we get busy, we forget, or maybe we aren't aware of, you know, just measuring that variety is good. It's not a one-size-fits-all, you know, effort that could be put into it. And definitely having clean products, high-quality products, because, you know, a lot of times, especially when it comes to supplements, you get what you pay for. So you might get
yes.
a bigger canister with more product, but you're not going to get the same results. So, you know, just, yeah. So just good stuff that we all need to hear again every time, every now and again. But Jean Marie, I'm going to kind of put you on the spot because there's a lot of debate around this one. But in your opinion, and granted, we're just talking opinions here, what is the most important meal of the day?
All of them. you know, I guess I'll go with what people normally say is breakfast. I think, you know, definitely very important to eat your first meal within an hour of waking up. Your body has been, essentially, you've been sleeping, right? So your body's been in hibernation. So it's, you know, it needs to be wakened up. And you do that by eating, get that metabolism revving, give it the fuel that it needs, start that day off right with a nice, balanced meal, protein, carbs, and a healthy fat, and then your metabolism is burning, you're ready to go. Back to driving that car. I'm not going to pull my car out of my garage with no gas in it, right? So I'm going to wake up, check the gas tank. Guess what? Need to go to the gas station? I'm going to get some food in my stomach.
Well, you know, I'm glad you were saying that because there's a lot of things, like I said, there, and I rail on this because it really... I've seen so much damage in the industry to people in all sports, but mainly in natural bodybuilding because basically we don't have that enhancement to fall back on or to get us through that anything. Well, you know, it's still damaging on that side too, but for the natural athlete, if you're not feeding, you're damaging. And,
right.
You know, there's plenty of people that have the elbow wraps, the knee wraps, and you know, and I noticed that some of them are even wearing them at home because it's such an issue. And I'm thinking you continue to go through that process of basically depleting the body and then starving it and then wondering why it's not working right. And so, you know, let's go back to the analogy of the gas. And I said, well, then you take the oil out of the car and say, well, you know, it's just not running the way it should. And it just kind of, I know it's a habit. I know it's been entrenched in the mind, and I know, you know, being a food person that you have to fight against this sometimes unwillingly because it's like, look, I just want to work out. I don't want to sit there and fight with you about your diet. But how do you get through to the person that's basically been drilled for year after year that, you know, hurting the body is helping the body?
Right. Yeah, it's funny. Actually, a girl approached me at the gym 2 nights ago about this exact conversation. She's recently lost, you know, 50 pounds. Amazing success story. I was like, you know, great, good for you. You look fantastic. And she's telling me that she's feeling frustrated because she's hit a plateau and, like, you know, feels like her body's not changing. And she's lost the 50 pounds by running solely. And she's like, and I know my, she goes, I eat healthy things, but I know my nutrition could be better. And I was like, well, you know, how many times a day do you eat? She goes, yeah, I wake up and I'm usually running late, so I never eat breakfast. And usually the first time I eat is like in the early afternoon. And then I try to have a snack and then I eat dinner like really late. And I was like, okay, I'm like, potentially, I'm not saying for sure, but potentially, just what I was just talking to you about, you're potentially putting your body starving. So you're waking up and you're running late and you're more concerned with getting to work on time than you are about putting gas in your tank. So your body's been hibernating all night and now you're not feeding it and now it doesn't know when it's going to get fed next. So when you do finally eat at 1 or 2, like you're telling me, more than likely it's storing that food because it's like, oh shit, this chick just ate. I'm gonna store this right now so I got this for later because you're gonna starve me again, right? So think of it like that, and then you may or may not have a snack, and then you're gonna eat dinner really late. So I'm like, you've got to think of it as you need to fuel your body so you have the energy, A, to get through your day, B, to come here and run, or if you're going to switch over, start asking me questions about weightlifting, switch over to weightlifting. I'm like, you might have gotten this far by cutting calories, but everybody has a certain amount of calories that their body needs to function, right? We need a certain amount of water to function. We need food to function. So you can cut and cut and cut. And then you get into the point where you're doing damage, you're slowing your metabolism down, and your body is just storing. And that's plateaus, that's maybe it starts going the other way, maybe the scale starts going up. So think about that, and then think about the quality of the food. When I'm looking at food and I'm thinking about what's going in there, I see protein, carbs, fat. I know that's not normal, most people probably don't see that, but that's what I see. So when someone's like, oh yeah, I eat really healthy, and so I make a smoothie and I put a cup of frozen berries, I'm like, okay, carbs. And then I put a cup of yogurt, okay, mostly carbs. And then I put, like, milk in there, okay, carbs and sugar. And I blend it up, and I have that. And for my next meal, I have a bunch of salad, and I'm usually hungry. I make a big, giant salad, and I put some chicken on it. I'm like, all right, so we've got, you know, greens, which are predominantly carbs, and then a little bit of protein. And then I really like ranch, so I cover it, so I'm like, useless, wasted calories. All right, and so we've grown to the point where, like, what – a lot of the general population eats is such poor nutrition that even when we're selecting healthier options, we think that we should be seeing these great results, but we're not making sure our meals are balanced. And that's really what I think people need to spend more time that are new to this on. They need to be seeing protein, carbs, and fat and balancing that out. And then structuring it like we're not going to eat only protein all day before our workout. We need energy. Energy comes from carbs. You can't cut carbs. That's another thing. People are like, so I don't eat any pasta, and I don't eat any rice, and I don't eat any bread, and I was losing weight, and now I'm stuck. Well, okay, consider this. I read a bunch of different articles, but most of them say your brain needs 60 to 65 grams a day to function. You can't cut all carbs out. It's not good for you. You're not going to have any energy. You're going to be tired. And your brain, do you ever feel spacey? Yeah, I have been getting headaches and feeling spacey. Yeah, because you're not eating enough carbs. Like, you can't do that. Your body is a machine. Just like Kaylin said, you need gas, but you need oil, right? So your body needs everything. It needs protein, carbs, and fats. And ideally, in a balanced format.
We got to make it
so that
it
can operate. Exactly.
Yep, exactly. And it is. It's not rocket science, but it is a science. So, and I have two thoughts that I kind of want to share. So I put you on the spot about, you know, which meal of the day is the most important. But, you know, basically your theory, and there was no right or wrong answer there, but your theory of always putting gas in the tank. So, yes, breakfast is very important, but I also think part of that, too, is, and there might be a lot of listeners out there who disagree with me, but it's also your pre-workout meal as well. Is going to be very important for you, you know, following the same theory, because, again, how are you going to have a truly effective workout if you don't have enough gas still in your gas tank to go through all of that? So, you know, because there's a lot of people out there that will say the post-workout meal is the most important meal of the day. So, again, different strokes for different folks. I'm not here to argue. I just like to have the discussion and hear different perspectives on what people think about that. And then, you know, you brought up a really good point about, you know, eating clean, having balanced meals. But for some of our beginners out there, or, you know, they're probably saying, okay, well, how do I know what is a balanced meal? And again, you know, not one size is going to fit all. But in layman's terms, how do you pull together your macros, your percentages on what you're aiming for?
So that's something that I tried a bunch of different things for myself, and I would encourage others to do the same. You know, I've read a lot. But I personally, I like structuring the majority of my carbs for the day around my workout. And, you know, obviously I start the day with some, and then I structure, like you were just talking about, that pre-workout and that post-workout meal tend to have those three meals, meal one and typically four and five, have the most carbs in them. So for me, that's what I find works. That's what has me feeling strong in the gym. So it's not always, you know, some people like to have a little bit in every meal, and some people say, you know, they don't eat carbs after 7 p.m. So it's really, I think, a personal preference thing. And I've learned to go by how I feel, mostly. I don't know that there's necessarily a right or wrong answer. You probably find 100 studies that'll say one thing and 100 studies that'll say the opposite.
Yeah.
And that's true. And like we've been saying, not one size fits all. So, but again, it's, you know, people are searching, they're looking, they're listening. So we always like to ask, and sometimes we ask the same question of a lot of different people, but, you know, rest assured, we almost always get a little bit different answer from everybody. So it's good to hear the different things that are out there. And we are getting to the part of the show that is always the saddest part of the show, but this part of the show where we are coming to a close. So with that being said, you have just given us a lot to think about, and I'm actually looking forward to some more food porn coming out here pretty soon, because that also gives me a lot to think about. So, you know, I'm glad that, if nothing else, I hope our listeners take away that, you know, food doesn't have to be boring and it doesn't have to be repetitive. You know, just put a little effort into an imagination and you can definitely use your staples to come up with something new and exciting. But with that being said, of all the things that we've covered, if you had to give, you know, just three tips to anyone out there to help them be successful in their bodybuilding endeavors, what would you share with them?
Do your research. So whether you're doing your research so that you can create your own program, or you're researching a coach that you're going to hire, if you're trusting your health in somebody else's hands, you should research them. Are they certified? Do they have the knowledge? That would be my first thing. The second thing is, have fun with it. You're doing this to have fun. So if at any point it's not fun, or it's not fun in a challenging way, why are you doing it? I really love it. I love the lifestyle. I really enjoy competing. I love the people that I meet. I find them to be very inspiring and motivational. So that's why I push. That's why I push myself. That's why I do it. And then the third thing, always challenge yourself. That's how you're going to see change. Physical change, emotional, mental change. So whether you're challenging yourself with the weights, you're going to switch up those workouts, or you're challenging yourself with your nutrition plan. Switch it up. Have fun.
I like those answers. And there's one thing I would like to throw out there, because I keep forgetting. But we are basically, in this day and age, counterculture. We're going against what everyone understands or accepts. And a lot of times it might seem rebellious, but really it's just saying, I have a better option for my own health. And I think even within our own realm, of people saying, well, you know, you're going against the grain by, you know, mixing food up and doing this and that, whatever. And I'm saying, whatever works for you to get you to the best state of health and fitness, so I'm not complaining. But, you know, a lot of times we do go against the grain a lot. Let's just be honest. It's a lot that we go against, and there's a lot of things we're going to speak out against unintentionally or intentionally by speaking about good health, because there's certain things we just simply should not be putting in our bodies.
Right.
And that's a great point that Kaylin brings up. And I think that's, you know, and that's the thing that all natural athletes, whether they realize they're representing or not, is that it is that choice, that going against the grain to make those decisions for our bodies that aren't the easy way, that aren't the quick fix way, but yet, you know, they're very holistic, natural, clean, good for you things that, you know, we do need to do. And they're not always easy, and they do take more time. But when your health is on the line, really, I don't even think you can even, I don't even know what the words are escaping me right now, but I don't know how you can skimp on that, I guess, is where I'm coming from, and I think where Kaylin was headed.
Yeah, so. I don't, you know, you have to be, like, we're so driven about work. We're so driven about production. We're so driven about being the best worker, the best whatever. But it's more like, okay, we take care of the machine, but we are machines as well, and we don't take care of or address ourselves in the way we should be. Like, the work mindset should be the mind and body mindset when it comes to health and fitness. And it's just, you know, basically it's eat what you can in the short time you have and then, you know, get to work. Or just get to food, but get to work. You know, everything's driven towards work. But, all right, if you're breaking down, then you're breaking down. And you don't get to work, and you're sick at work, and you can't work. So then what? You know, if you don't address the needs of the body, how do you address the needs of the job?
Yep, exactly. What is it that we've seen? I know there's different versions of this out there, but it says you can't pour out of a cup that's empty. So be sure to take care of yourself first. Right.
Yeah.
I think that's what it boils down to.
Yeah.
So,
well, boils up, but we'll go on.
Boils up, boils down. The point is the cup can be refilled. All right, now that we've gotten all philosophical on the evening, Jean Marie, I just want to thank you so much again for joining us and sharing your perspectives.
We've had
a really good time with you. Love you too, Kaylin. Always, always.
Thank you for having me.
So.
Thank you.
Hey, and before I forget, before I let you go, do you have any competitions coming up this year? What can we expect to see from you besides your lovely food porn?
Yeah, so hopefully lots more of my food porn. But I am in my improvement season right now, and I'm looking to come out strong and hopefully in a bigger package in the fall. So I'm targeting some OCB and WNBF shows in October and November this year.
Cool.
Awesome, awesome. Well, we will definitely be looking for you. So have a wonderful night, and you know, keep churning out those T4P protein pancakes, and we'll have our eye on you.
Will do. Thank you. Have a great night.
Thanks. Have a good night. Wow, I tell you, it doesn't matter how many different, not that we've had a ton of them, but every person that we've had to speak with us about food and nutrition, they've all just been a little bit different, different perspective, different tips, tools of the trade. So if you guys haven't had a chance to listen to our last foodie edition, I would definitely go back and re-listen to that show, take your notes, and then listen to this show again and take even more notes, and you will have more fresh ideas that you probably won't know what to do with, that if you tried one every week for the next 3 months, you still wouldn't run out of ideas. So plenty to consider there. So with that being said, we've talked a lot about protein tonight, and I think Kaylin's got a little bit more for us on that front.
Yes, and I would love to talk about snickerdoodle, but there was one. I want to talk about the people. This supplement section spotlight should be about our pre-workout, because there was something that was done that most people do not know, because we have an ever-evolving banned substance list in the natural community.
Yes.
There's always some supplement place that's basically concocting some formula that's illegal, and they're trying to sell it legally. But P4P, thank God, is a natural supplement company dealing with natural athletes. So basically, they do not deal in the banned substance list products. But there was one time where one came online and was considered banned substance, and it was in the Alter Ego. Immediately, and I mean immediately, the whole formula was scrapped and was changed to match the banned substance list requirements. And I was just blown away by that, because this is something that they could have said, look, we'll basically, you know, keep doing what we're doing, and, you know, when we get tired of it, we'll just send out some kind of, like, warning or an email that says, you know, something's wrong with the stuff, you know, buyer beware. That is not what they did at all. They actually jumped on it. JB, Chad, and Joe just basically, you know, took the hit and made sure that their competitors were still natural athletes. And that says a lot about the company. That says a lot about the people, and that says a lot about, you know, how they respect the ones that are buying their product. And, you know, just talking about something like that, you don't even have to get into how well it works. Just the fact that they want it to work naturally blows me away because they back what they say. So, you know, big ups to that, big props to that. And when you talk about the actual pre-workout, bar none. It's going to get you through your workout, and it's not the jittery, ready to tear off this, you know, the paint and basically peel the ceiling fans off, and hopefully, you know, there's still somebody left breathing in the building. You actually want to use it, get your workout done, and still have enough for wherewithal to sleep after it's over. So that's a big plus for the P4P Alter Ego. They have many, many flavors. My favorite is the fruit punch. There's one that I can't really say I care for, but I can't remember the name of it. I mean, the flavor. But I, you know, hey, to each of them.
Everybody's thinking, yeah, that doesn't help us.
No, I'm trying to think of what it is, and I had it written down, but I didn't save it. It might have been the lemon lime.
Yeah, the lemon, you know, I love my P4P products, but the lemon flavor was a little rough one, to handle. But you know, if you hold your breath while you drink it, it all goes down the same. Did I tell you what? If I'm going to spend money on something, I am not wasting it.
You better believe it.
I can get past it. You can better believe it. So, and, you know, it still functions fine. I got great results with it. Yep. I'm making a popsicle next time. I'll just be going with the fruit punch or the cotton candy next time.
There you go. Oh, God. I want to try that as a popsicle. Oh, yeah.
That'll be awesome. So,
yeah,
so there you have it.
Yeah,
do.
Yeah,
we'll be looking for a... We'll be looking for your product review on an upcoming show. So there's your homework.
We'll do that Tuesday. I'll let you know Tuesday. Yeah.
All right. All right.
4 days. Yeah.
So everybody listening in, if you want to know how the pre-workout popsicle turned out, we're going to talk about that on Tuesday. So, and we've also got an awesome, all of our guests are awesome to the third power, 10th power, but we have got a great guy that is going to be on our show on Tuesday. And, Kaylin, why don't you give them a little sneak peek as to what they can expect?
Well, we're going to be talking about a young man who's been competing for quite some time. And he's also a P4P sponsored athlete. And just he's really enthused, really full of life and energy. And he's one of the wheelchair competitors, Josh Dillenberry. And I'm really looking forward to this show because he's really enthused to speak with us and speak about, you know, competing and all the things that he's got to go through. And I'm just interested to find out what this man has to say.
Exactly. So be sure you tune in with us, 7 o'clock Central Standard Time next Tuesday, which I believe is February 23rd. February 23rd, yep, going to have a calendar in front of me, so put it on your calendar early, and we're going to talk with Josh, we're going to have our popsicle review, so it's going to be a great show. You're not going to want to miss it. But with that, on behalf of myself and Kaylin and P4P Muscle.
Now it's time to say goodbye to all our P4P.
If your body is a temple, let's build it.